This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Ron Barris has been with us for several weeks now. He's been talking about what it takes to build and keep lasting relationships, something that every cross-cultural Christian worker needs and wants. Without such relationships, loneliness is a likely result. So let's listen some more to Ron as we wind up this series with some more thoughts on how forgiveness is one of the five essentials for building a lasting relationship. And by the way, as I've told you before, Ron Barris is a member care person for ABWE.
There are five essentials for building lasting relationships. The first is respect. I listen. The second is honesty. I speak truth in a loving manner. Third is commitment. I stay and I serve. Fourth is acceptance. I embrace. And lastly, forgiveness. I intercede for those who have hurt me. We've been talking about the importance of forgiveness because every human relationship is between sinners and therefore will not be perfect. Last time we looked at five aspects of forgiveness from the scriptures in the life of Job and his friends. Last time we looked at five factors in Job forgiving his friends. We saw, number one, that God is not into disposable relationships. Secondly, that God intervened to unite these men at an altar of worship. Thirdly, God did not begin to restore Job's losses until he had reconciled and prayed for those friends who had hurt him so deeply. Fourth, God knew he could count on Job not only to endure incredible suffering physically and familially, but he could also count on him to suffer shame and reproach from his dearest friends and then be called on to forgive them. And lastly, we saw that Job's forgiveness was sealed by his merciful intercession for his friends. Oh, how important it is for us to pray for the forgiveness of those who have hurt us, not only to extend them our forgiveness, which is essential, but to pray for God's forgiveness for them. Now, let me describe my understanding of forgiveness from the scriptures. First, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. Have you ever thought, I must not have forgiven them since I'm still hurt? The genuineness of forgiveness is not determined by the presence of good feelings. Forgiveness is a decision to release the perpetrator into God's hands and to ask God to show mercy towards them, even as we ourselves have been shown mercy. Forgiveness may eventually lead to the healing of anger, pain, and disappointment, but feelings follow decisions, often at quite a distance. Secondly, forgiveness is not always a single choice, but a series of choices. Deep wounds, either physical or emotional, often have lingering pain even after they're healed. If the old anger rises up as you're reminded of the injustice and pain you suffered, choose to forgive again. Take the pain immediately to God in prayer for mercy to the offender and a declaration of your forgiveness and releasing of them into God's hands. If the wound is deep, you may have to do this scores of times. This doesn't mean that the last time wasn't genuine. It simply means that you're being tempted to take it back. Resist that temptation, not by trying to handle it on your own, but by placing it back into God's hands yet again. My friends, one of the key factors in overcoming temptation is to turn that temptation into a prayer. Rush into God's presence with your pain and your temptation. Thirdly, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the sin or the pain that results from it. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Such statements are often used when an apology is offered. This leaves us with a mistaken view of offense and forgiveness. Sin is not okay. Sin put Jesus on the cross. I don't have to play let's pretend about the pain of sin or the consequences that follow it. Pretending that sin against me or those I love really doesn't matter is a futile effort at minimizing the pain and is only a form of self-deception. Listen, sin is real. Pain is real. Sorrow is real. And praise God, so is forgiveness. Forgiveness does not necessitate the other person's appropriate response. I believe there's an important distinction between resolution in your own heart and reconciliation. Let me explain what I mean. If I forgive another person, but they either reject me or reject the idea that they've even done anything wrong, then I'm left with resolution without reconciliation. I have resolved the matter in my own heart with them and with God, having forgiven them and asking God to show them mercy. I will treat them with kindness and mercy, leaving the outcome to God. But for reconciliation to take place, both parties need to see things the same way. We're reconciled with God because we come to see ourselves, our sin, and His provision the way God does. Without this agreement, reconciliation is impossible. If the offender and the offended parties both see the issue alike, an apology and the offer of forgiveness reconcile the relationship. Either way, we must forgive, though we are not responsible for or in control of what the other person does with our forgiveness. Forgiveness does not require the establishment of a close relationship with the offender. If the offense is an indication of a serious character flaw, then to re-enter a trust relationship with that person may be very unwise. Thievery, sexual abuse, or violence must be forgiven, but to place oneself at the disposal of a thief or an abuser would be foolish. Forgiveness of and protection from abuse are mutually appropriate. Forgiveness does not require the removal of all consequences of sin. A legal charge against a person who is guilty of abuse, thievery, or other illegalities is distinct from the extension of personal forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that the forgiven person gets away with evil. In the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 6, God includes restitution and legal recourse as part of the fabric of a just society. Personal forgiveness does not necessitate the removal of social justice or the consequences of sinful choices. God forgives us of all sin, but does not automatically remove the consequences of our sinful choices. They are separate and distinct matters and should be treated as such. We are to be free of all vengeance and malice, while not ignoring the application of justice where it is appropriate. Forgiveness is possible by the grace of God. Only the grace of God can transform human hearts to show God-like mercy and forgiveness. What is impossible for us and ourselves is not beyond the power of His indwelling Spirit. We need to ask for the grace to forgive, even as we ask for His mercy on the one we have forgiven. This mountain of impossibility of forgiveness was the very subject of the following parable of Jesus. Listen to Mark chapter 11. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Forgiveness is required by the grace of God. Because we've been forgiven, we must forgive. Our tendency is to ask mercy for ourselves, but to demand justice of others. Grace requires that I see myself and others in the same way. The grace which saves us must be seen in the way we treat others. Grace received must become grace extended. It was this command for constant forgiveness that prompted the increase our faith line of the disciples in the following teaching of Jesus. Luke 17, Jesus said to his disciples, Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin, so watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. Forgiveness needs to be modeled to the next generation. How we respond to conflict and offense is initially learned in the home of origin. If offenses are ignored, we learn to ignore rather than address them. If conflicts are never resolved as children, we're likely to leave them unresolved in adulthood. If conflict usually resulted in escalated arguments or worse, we will tend to avoid conflicts or become aggressive in return. Personality, example, and habit combine to reinforce our behaviors and responses in the light of our upbringing. It is the rarest of families that model godly conflict resolution and responsible forgiveness. But there is, perhaps, no more valuable inheritance that can be left to children than a biblical model of how to build relationships God's way by the constant application of respect, honesty, commitment, acceptance, and forgiveness.
Thanks, Ron. We've been learning about some of the factors that go into building lasting relationships. Ron just outlined them. I hope you found this series helpful. Sometime in the future, we'll probably hear again from Ron. And as I mentioned earlier, Ron Barris is a member care person with ABWE.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.